Hey you, come on, sit down. You're sitting at the grown-ups table. I'm your host, Jesse Pimpinella, and as always, my partner in crime.
Sorry, John Jacobs. I didn't have the YouTube muted, and I was like, why am I hearing everything twice? I was like,
you're okay. You're okay. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody, and a happy, happy Tuesday to everybody. Right now, if you're wondering where I'm at, I am on location right now. It's been a very crazy week. I've been having, number one, me and a couple of my friends, Matt Onesti, Harrison Poole, and many others, Hannah Rums, we filmed a movie, so we've been on site for a lot of it. I just got back into town, and yeah, it's crazy. I just didn't want to cancel tonight's show because I have another show later on tonight, so it's a little crazy, a little rapid, but hey, I want to make it happen because I love doing this show, as well as we got amazing topics that we are going to be talking about tonight. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the Crow teaser. We're going to be talking about Sidney Prescott's big return to the Scream franchise. We're going to talk about Ghostbusters, how that's going to be in theaters, as well as many other topics that we haven't talked about. We love your live comments, so make sure you're commenting live and joining us. Jordan, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, more details to come with that. I mean, with the special and the movie, a lot of details to come. When I know more, I will sing it to the high praises on here. But without further ado, let's bring our guests on. I'm really excited to bring him on. He was on a while back, but now he's finally here. So please give it up for the Skull Cowboy, everybody. Give it up for him. How are you doing, my friend?
How you doing?
I think it's funny. His name is the Skull Cowboy.
I asked him if he wanted to be called the Skull Cowboy. He said yes.
You guys don't know the reference?
Skull no, what Cowboy is it?
Is the guide to the Crow in the comic book.
Holy shit. Oh my God. Okay. All right.
So he could be a fan and make sure that I'm not stupid when I talk about it.
Okay. Well, hey, that was a good fan check. I did not know that. I'm familiar with the comic book. I unfortunately did not know that's what the character was. So that is that's really good. Oh, look at that.
Wow.
So I obviously I could see you are a big fan of the comic book.
Yes, very much so.
Let me ask you this. How did you first get introduced to it?
The graphic novel?
Yeah.
An ex-girlfriend back in high school.
Oh my God. This it's so funny because like the way the Crow is written, it's about lost love, fall in love. I mean, the author lost his wife to a drunk driving accident, which inspired this movie. It always seems like there's some sort of suffering and loss in order to discover the Crow. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Oh, hold on. I have to pause. I have to clarify because we're talking like 30 years ago. Brian, is this the person I'm thinking it is?
No, probably not.
Mm.
Yeah, no.
I was really hoping it was the one.
No,
I found
this in probably sophomore year of high school when I was a goth kid. So
I'm really upset it's not who I was thinking it was. That's all right. We'll make that connection on a later
show. There is a lot of X's. I mean, we can go down the list, but
I don't want to obviously say her name or anything, but you should know who I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, no, that is not the person. No.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool, man. So real quick, like I said, there's a lot of iterations of the Crow, and this movie has kind of been in a developmental hell for many years. I mean, at one point, if I'm correct, Jason Momoa not only was attached to this project, but they shot some shit with him, if I remember correctly.
I believe so. Mark Wahlberg was attached to it at one point. I think Bradley Cooper was in rumors.
Bradley Cooper was, yes.
For a while. And yeah, we ended up with Bill and Rupert Sanders, which I don't know, man.
What are your initial thoughts on the Crow teaser, which we've all seen? It hit the internet. And I guess today we're supposed to get a full trailer because apparently what we saw was a teaser before. But what have your initial thoughts have been about this so far?
From what I've seen, I know a lot of people are upset about his look. I don't really care that much about it. I mean, I think they're trying to grab a younger audience, which fine.
Yeah. It's kind of like when they changed the font to Hot Topic.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's like there's like Hot Topic isn't Hot Topic the way it used to be for us. This is the new age Hot Topic. So yeah, I can understand the look. Like I mean, I can fight it, but at the same time, I'm like, if you're gonna be that type of musician today, that's what you're gonna look like.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, for all we know, I mean, he's just like a skinnier version of Jelly Roll, essentially.
I like that. I'm not, when I watch this movie, that's all I'm going to think about now. It's a skinnier version of Jelly Roll going through.
I would appreciate a crow if it was Jelly Roll. I mean, if Hollywood could make that happen, the movie might bomb, but I promise you, I will buy a ticket and see the movie. I promise you, I will see a Jelly Roll crow movie, hands down.
That could be the sequel to this. You never know. I mean,
well, that's the beauty about the crow. I mean, the crow isn't always, it's not the same character. The crow pretty much it's a mantle character, so to speak.
It is.
So maybe Jelly Roll, you know, maybe this movie does well. We get the Jelly Roll sequel.
So I did, while you guys have been chatting on about Jelly Rolls, I did verify.
Wait, hold on. Do you know who Jelly Roll is?
I'm 42. Probably not.
All right. I want you to Google that right now.
I want you to Google Jelly Roll. You need to be on. You need to be in on this joke.
In a minute. So, listen, 15 years, this film has been in developmental hell for 15 fucking years, and they landed on Bill Skarsgård wearing what looks like Harley Quinn suicide jacket, and that's supposed to be a goth superhero. Awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's Ryan's cast. MGK. I mean, that could have been interesting. There you go.
Yeah, he would have fit the bill. I'm pretty sure they kind of modeled a little bit, maybe off MGK a little bit there.
Be honest with you, I thought it was MGK for a hot second. Yeah, I was like, did Bill Skarsgård lose it?
I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh my god, they got MGK. What are we doing?
What is MGK?
Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh my god, that dude has an acronym for his name. Is he even making music now that he's not with Megan Fox anymore?
I don't know.
I think he changed his name. I don't think it's Machine Gun Kelly anymore. I think he changed it to something else. But totally off topic.
Yeah. But
my initial thoughts are that it could be good.
The first one that good?
Dude, come here.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Slap talking. You. The first one is a masterpiece, in my opinion. Okay.
First one is a masterpiece.
Everything afterwards is.
This is where the discussion's going to happen. Okay. So, because you're a fan, and I'll be honest, I've seen the first film twice, maybe three times on a good day.
My house.
City of Angels, I watched once. I was going to watch it the other night for Doug, but just didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't.
So, like, I have no stake in this, okay? I didn't think the first one was that great. I didn't think it was this holy gothic connection people were making it up to be. The film just seemed really boring and bland to me. Acting was all right. I get the whole Brandon Lee dying, and you want to give that to the film? Go ahead. That's great. I think if that's... we're going to do the memorial. That's his film. Okay. I'm good with that. Like, I got no issue with that. I got no issue with City of Angels. But my problem is one, I don't know a single person was even asking for this. Two, is this even relevant in terms of goth? Because like we just talked about, everything is different now. Hot Topic now isn't the same as it was 25 years ago when it first came around. Goth now isn't what goth was 25 years ago. So every time we go through this generational like shift, do we need to reboot another subgenre movie again that group said that was their movie? So if goth people said Crow is our movie, because it's been 30 years or whatever, oh damn, it's actually almost 30 years, not quite. do we just need to reboot this shit again? And with the guy who like played Pennywise, in my opinion, did an absolute terrible job ruining that character and story. Yeah. Oh, the new It was stupid, man. I can't even believe I paid theater money to watch that.
I like the first one. I didn't like the second one, but I did like the first
It. It was better. I just don't understand how you can say you're going to make it better and then end up just getting further and further away from anything that makes it better. But anyways, back to The Crow. So The Crow was comics, right? And like, I knew they were comics. I know nothing about them. You, Brian, are heavy into it. So give us like the 1 minute rundown. Like, what the fuck is The Crow? Why did it get super popular in the comics enough to warrant a live action film? And then we can get into the whole curse of the film and Brandon Lee and all that stuff. So,
okay, Ryan, so you want the rundown from the comic book?
Because yeah, like, why the fuck should we care about the Crow, movie. Man? Why should we care? So, tell us why
we should The Crow care. Is the ultimate love story. Hmm. It's two lovers that are murdered senselessly, and one comes back to revenge their death.
Okay.
Now, in the comic book, it's a lot different than Brandon Lee's movie, and it looks totally different than the movie that is coming out now. But in the comic book,
number one biggest
difference.
Yeah.
I would say, first of all, they don't die in an apartment. Their car breaks down, and Top Dollar and T-Bird and everybody finds them. And I don't know if this is a kid's show, but they
go crazy.
Say what you want to say.
They do rape Shelly.
Hard and R. Murder I think him. The word they say to get past algorithms.
Right. Yes.
Hard
right.
R.
Also, I mean, final battle scene at the end of Brandon Lee's movie is completely different than what is in the comic book. Because in the comic book, T-Bird escapes in a car, so it kind of goes full circle where he kills T-Bird after T-Bird crashes his car, where in the movie they fight in the church and he loses all his powers and all that. In the comic book, he never loses his powers. He just goes around and is a killing machine. And then the other half of the comic book is more based on him dealing with Shelley being dead and his memories and everything like that. So the comic book is like probably, I don't want to say the goth Bible, but it is pretty close to a goth Bible.
Hold on. I got two things. So number one, so what is it about that when he dies, he gets bestowed these powers of the Crow? Now we know the Crow isn't a person. It's like Batman. Anybody can be Batman. Anybody can be the Crow. But how did this guy get lucky enough after his woman and him getting taken out? The Crow was like, yeah, we want to give this guy goth powers. And then, but he like doesn't look goth.
They never give you a definitive answer, but it's more on the brutality of their death and what happens and how he has to watch Shelly get and
I remember that. Like
that. Mm-hmm. That the Crow in the afterlife as itself decides, okay, we're going to give the powers to him. And that's kind of where the Skull Cowboy comes in, because the Skull Cowboy is a little bit of his guide. And kind of tries to steer him into different areas. And that is one maybe little minute detail that I wish they had in Brandon Lee's movie. Because he didn't really have that guy. They kind of used like the Crow itself as his guy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Not so much in the comic book like that. So, and with the new one, I see a lot of similarities between the Brandon Lee movie and the new one, which kind of, I'm like, I get that they're going to try to remake it, but like Jesse said, with the Crow, it can be anybody. So my biggest thing is, why would you give them the same names? Why not just give them different names?
Right, right.
Run it through all that. You save everybody trying to compare this to the original movie.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
it's just another Crow, right? Yeah, it's something else happened bad to this guy.
Yep.
You know, Brandon Lee's Crow is done, whatever. So Spirit's like, oh, this is my next boy right here. Right. We're going to make him, you know? And then they go and the story happens. So, Brian, I have a question because.
Just to interject, actually, just to explain one thing. I actually know the reasoning why it became like that.
Okay.
So Jason Momoa, when he was attached, this was supposed to be a straight adaptation of the comic book. not a remake of the movie.
There we go. There we go. Yeah.
And what happened was, because if you're familiar with Developmental Hell, you know, as time goes on and it changes hands, the project changes. So that's why this director is calling it now a reinvention, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's not even an adaptation of the comic book now. And we're kind of, I don't even know if it's a remake of the movie or an adaptation of the comic book. It's somewhere in between. And I think when movies do that and they cause that confusion among fans, I think it makes it very discomforting, because then it's like, what you're basing this property on is not on solid ground. Granted, there are times where this does work. And a good example of a comic movie where this did work was Men in Black, which if you're not familiar with the comic books, the Neuralizer does not exist. If you see an alien, clack clang, you're done. The Neuralizer was the PG-13 it up a little bit. So I mean,
Will Smith effect right there.
Yeah, it's a Will Smith effect. Like, you don't want Will Smith just being like, you saw an alien, it went that way. Okay. Pow. So there's times where that sort of thing can work. Will it work here? The trailer hasn't instilled confidence in me, because I think the thing that it has working against itself is that Men in Black was the first Men in Black movie. This is not the first Crow movie. So that shaky ground that it's working on, I think it has less of a chance of working. But hey, this is just the teaser. Let's see what comes next. So sorry, I mean to cut you off, John. I just wanted clarify that detail. Yeah.
Well, I want to build off of that, actually, but real quick. So this sounds an awful lot like Spawn. I mean, it sounds like Spawn, only instead of it's hell, it's like goth hell with a crow, and the guy comes back as Sting. I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like to me. But
Sting stole it from the Crow. Just to clarify, Sting.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware. Okay. I'm aware. Don't you dare badmouth Sting on this podcast again. You better watch yourself. All right. Okay. Like, the whole point of a reboot or a remake or what have you is because there is something that you have identified that you can improve upon. And one great example of this is The Thing from 1982 versus The Thing from Another World. So this is an example of a beautiful, you know, reboot, remake, reimagining, whatever you want to call it, right? And that's kind of the example that I use, right? Because, I mean, if you're really, really going to reboot something, not make a side story, not do a new universe, not do, you know, forward in time, backward in time, but you're going to say, we're literally going to take this, and we're going to lift, and we're going to reboot this. Nigel's comment kind of nails it, because you add so much baggage to it. And like we were talking about earlier, what Brian was saying, why on God's name would you not just do a new story? The Crow has chosen a new guy to be the Crow, and here is his story. And to your point, when you're like, you know, not only are they rebooting it, but they're not rebooting it like I thought they were going to do it, where they were going to go closer to the source material. They just said, no, we're gonna do what we want to, and people are gonna like it better because it looks cooler. No, right, they were wrong. Yeah. You know, this is, we're gonna take this movie, right, that is this guy's memorial that like people have on a fucking pedestal, and we all agree, like, objectively it's not a good movie. Just like objectively Superman 3 isn't a good movie, but it doesn't mean I don't love it. It doesn't mean you don't love The Crow. That's fine. We all love the movies we love.
Right.
But objectively speaking, it's not a great film, but it has so much nostalgia. It has a memorial around it. It's a thing. That film, like, and the thing, if you weren't alive when that was happening, you don't know. Like, it was huge. It was and it was a big fucking deal that he got killed on set, and then they moved forward. It was the first time they used, like, CG to keep an actor going in a film who didn't get to film all the shots. I mean, it was a big fucking deal, and it was everywhere. It was also on regular news.
The soundtrack is amazing to that.
Then they had this. The soundtrack, I feel like, is why so many people liked the movie who weren't actually Crow fans, because the soundtrack is, I had the soundtrack. I fucking went out and bought it. I mean, mean? It was really, really good. So my thing is that because you are specifically rebooting this movie, like, and it's not just the idea, you're rebooting this exact movie. That's where they lost me, because I'm like, I don't see this going good. Like, because people are going to be pissed about ABC, XYZ. Like, just make a new... It doesn't have to be a passing of the torch. You could just start it with this crow's origin and be like, oh, yeah, the crow passes it on. And Like,
dude, and it's not like Eric and Shelley are the only couple to ever die in a horrific...
Exactly.
Like, events. I mean...
Exactly.
Again, I mean, I don't want to rehash going back to the same name, but... You could have totally just changed this and made it its own thing and built from there.
Yes. And I think that's what I'm chapped about it. Jesse, Nigel has a comment on there, which it actually, that's a really good comment. I like the jab that he made at me, but he's absolutely correct, because if you're going to make it the same, people are going to complain because, well, this is Brandon Lee's memorial and it's got to be done this way and you got to do it this way and But then if you do it differently, people are like, why did you do this differently? Why didn't you do it the same? You know, it's, and he's right. Like, I do this back and forth all the time, right? Because it's just like, that's the thing, is you're never going to make anybody happy, but there's always a happy middle. And I feel like there's a lot of success in the middle. And I'm not saying don't take risks, because risks are everything. Risk is how you build on success. Risk is how you get a blockbuster, right? Like, so I'm not saying don't risk it. But what I'm saying is maybe this wasn't the one to do a straight reboot of. Maybe this is the one we just needed to do another side story and people could get all into it and Maybe this wasn't the best decision.
I think their issue became with all of the sequels and how bad the sequels went. Now, I mean, if we look at the sequels, they also had Edward Furlong, Tara Reid.
Oh, God. Put them both in the same movie.
I'm a fan of Kirsten Dunst, but, I mean, she only did it to get out of her contract, I believe.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they, you know, they had some big characters, but, I mean, those movies bombed. I mean, I was there opening night for the second Crow movie.
And you were disappointed.
The only highlight to that is the Deftones playing for about 10 seconds in the background. So, but getting now, back.
I didn't know they had this. I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
I didn't know they had this 2005 Wicked Player movie.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen this.
Yeah,
I have not seen Salvation.
There's the one with Kirsten Dunst and Eric Mabus, I believe his name is.
Okay.
That one's bad too. I'm not gonna lie. But getting back to the trailer, the things that I saw in the trailer that kind of remind me of the original one, it looks like they die in their apartment again, which I don't understand. And secondly, it seems like, and we won't know until the movie finally comes out, but it looks like that final scene is kind of happening in this symphony area, which is really just kind of like what they did with the church and Brandon Lee's one.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like they thought, okay, let's go remake The Crow. Oh, we really can't do the comic book. So let's just try to change it up a little bit and then come out with the same movie that we did 30 years ago.
And that's what the problem, because when we have reboots like that, I'm not going to say 100% of the time they're not good, but 99%. More often than not, when we have that specific structure of a reboot, it often tends. Yeah. I am trying to give this movie some credit and like leave a little space in case it ends up being awesome, because it might be fucking cool.
It could be.
It could be great.
I don't know why they're in prison, but you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't have a lot of confidence, but one, I'll always admit if I'm wrong, and two, I do hope it's good, because then it's just another cool movie I get to watch.
I really hope it's good, because then they can branch off of this. What I'm afraid of is it's going to totally bomb, and then I'll be dead before another Crow movie comes out after that.
So. I agree.
I think the biggest issue here is that if it's whether or not Hollywood missed the mark of what this movie is about or what the comic book is about. If they were like, oh, this is another superhero project, then the movie's going to fail, because that's not what we want. That's not Because if you look at the last, I mean, there's this statistic they were talking about, like the biggest blockbuster movies we've had in the last 6 months. None of them were comic book movies.
Yeah.
The audience is getting, but that's not because audiences don't want comic book movies. Mm-hmm. They just don't want comic book movies that are comic book movies. Yeah. They want a movie that so happens to be a comic book movie. The Crow, the comic book doesn't go out of its way to be, oh, it's a superhero comic book. Blah, blah, blah. It's a love story, as you said at the very beginning. And it's a tragic love story. Yeah. And there is times in the comic where he is getting kind of like shit talked by the Crow because he's like, why are you all sad? Go get that revenge. And the book was written as a way for the author to cope with his grief because he felt like his wife, girlfriend was unjustly taken from him.
Yes.
And that's what, if you focus the movie through that point, an emotion that anybody can feel, the missing of a loved one that was taken from you too soon, then the movie, in my opinion, will succeed. Sure. If they miss that mark.
Yeah.
And they're like, we made it because wouldn't it be cool if we made a John Wick like superhero that is indestructible? Then you lost the audience.
Yeah.
You lost the audience. You lost the point of it. Because, I mean, Brandon Lee, one of the most best things about his performance is how poignant it was at times, where you could see he was suffering. I mean, he was hanging out in his old apartment where he was murdered because it's the closest thing he has to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
a lot of it in the comic book too. I mean, a lot of the comic book, and I mean, obviously I am suicide prevention, all of that, you know.
Of course. Because obviously, if people aren't familiar with the comic books, there is some self-harming that goes into this.
I mean, there's a whole like 4-page section where he's talking about how he just wants to die because Shelley is not there. I totally agree.
The Crow is essentially a metaphor for this, for the ability to can't move on and can't grieve in a specific way. That's how I always interpreted it when I first saw this and looked at the author and what the author went through. And I'm like, this was his healing tool. This was his 12-step process to grieving, or whatever the amount of steps, 7 steps or whatever it might be. This was it. This was a grieving process. And if they take this movie and go at that angle and relate to people on that level, then everybody's going to feel like they're Eric Draven and they're getting revenge against the universe that took someone they loved.
Yeah.
Then you got a whole army of crows watching the movie. But if you miss that mark, then you're going to piss viewers off, because then you just made a superhero movie about a movie that's not about superheroing.
Right. You know what it kind of reminds me of? And
what?
I love this movie, but it reminds me of a gothic Deadpool.
Very much.
You know, you can shoot him, you can do whatever you want to him, but he's still going to get back up. He's got the swords, you know. It seems like he's got a little bit of an attitude towards himself. When I watched
he's very...
He's like the gothic Deadpool. Okay, all right. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, oh no, he's very much a goth Deadpool. He's very kind of sardonic, and he's just kind of like... He's very... I don't want to use clownish, but like... The way he smiles, he is such a tortured individual that it's almost like his body has decided, like, oh, I can either be miserable or enjoy this. Either way, I have to go through this.
Right. Yeah.
And there's in that level of torment that's behind it, I think makes a bigger impact with this character. And that's what I'm hoping they do with this movie. If you want to reinvent the character, that's fine. It's been done. I've seen reinvention of source material, and I've seen it done well. It is possible. It is possible. And I want to see this movie with that attitude that it can be good, but they need to make sure that grief is at the crux of this movie. Yeah. If you made it because Liongate was like, we need a superhero property, it's going to fail.
Yeah. And I mentioned in your comments before, why bring it out during the summer?
That's the other thing we were talking about.
Why? This makes no sense for a summer movie. You put this in September, maybe like early October, you're going to have a much better audience than the summer audience.
And people don't know this because it's in the comic, because it's not really much in this. He's very zombie-like.
Yes.
He's like, they yes. clean him up for the movie. They really clean him up for the movie. But in the comic book, if I remember correctly, he's decaying a little bit.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is.
And so, like, this would have been, if you would have put that element back in, that would have been perfect.
Right.
You would have pretty much had this, like, this slasher killer who is doing a superheroic element. Mm-hmm. While also being a revenge tale. Tell me how that doesn't hit $100 million in the box office.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me how it doesn't.
Yeah.
Especially during Halloween. I'd see that shit.
Yeah. They did that last year, or maybe it was the year before, with Haunting of Venice, where yeah. it was Halloween based. They're like, okay, we're going to put this out close to Halloween to fit. If you would have put that out in the summer, or you would have put that out in February, it would have bombed. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember if it bombed or not. I mean, it was an all right movie.
The Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Which came out during the summertime yes. for I don't know what fucking reason.
To get kids into the theater. And then kids,
which they could have done during Halloween, because there's nothing appropriate for kids to see during Halloween except that movie, and Disney would have made a killing.
Yes, yes. Well, that's Disney, and that's a whole probably other show that you guys would have to do. But yeah. No, it yeah. made no sense of the timing of that. When I heard it was coming out in summer, I just shook my head and said, why? Like,
yeah, yeah, but because that, and that's what scares me, because what traditionally comes out during summertime? Superhero blockbusters. Yeah. And that's what scares me.
Yeah,
that's what gets my heart moving a little bit, because I'm like, ooh, don't yeah. treat this like a superhero movie. You treat this like a superhero movie, it fails. Because like, yeah. you watch like classic Marvel movies, like Captain America Winter Soldier, that's an espionage movie.
Yep.
That's an espionage movie that so happens to be happening to superheroes.
Yeah, they put it, they put a superhero costume on him, and basically were like, yeah, this is an espionage spy movie, basically.
Exactly. Like, these were movies that were so happened to be superhero movies, but they weren't going out of their way to go da-da-da-da. Yeah, they weren't like... And that's what I don't want them to do with this movie. I don't. This is The Crow, for all intents and purposes, is not a superhero movie. And that's what makes him a superhero, in my opinion.
I think it's because it was a graphic novel comic book. They're going to be like, oh, we can make it into a superhero. We can push it out during the summer. But yeah. And but it's also going to be what it goes against. Whatever's coming out that weekend or the weekend after. I mean, unless there's nothing, then I don't see it. I don't see it succeeding.
Unfortunately, only time will tell. Only time will tell. But but before we wrap up with the Crow teaser, any final words you might have that you want us to impart with us?
Don't watch any of the other ones, John.
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna watch them all now, dude. I'm gonna watch them all.
Okay, just stay away from the Edward Furlong one, okay? You won't even make it. Like, Mystery Science Theater 3000 couldn't even probably sit through that one.
Jesus.
But to everybody out there, I do want them to go with an open mind. If you were a fan of the original, like I was, going with an open mind. Because if we go in there with that idea of like, oh, they're stomping on our sacred ground, we're not going to like it. No matter how good or bad it is, we won't like it, because it's not Brandon Lee and it's not all of this. I think if we go in with an open mind, hopefully they don't screw it up too much and make it worthwhile at least to watch on HBO Max at 10 o'clock at night when you're drunk or high or something, or you're just bored. Okay.
Yeah.
That I think is the best ceiling that it can reach.
I absolutely think so too. Like I said, only time will tell with this movie. And there's a lot of stuff where, unfortunately, time will tell is a big considering factor. Another considering factor in a horror adjacent sort of property that has many other sequels would be Scream, which the big news this week was Neve Campbell is returning to be Sydney Prescott in Scream 7. She was not in Scream 6 due to a pay dispute. They were moving ahead with Scream 7, but then they fired the current star of the movie because of the Israel-Palestinian comment she made. We're not going to get into that. Then Jenna Ortega pulled out. So the movie was pretty much dead in the water. Then it lost its new director, who wasn't one of the original directors from the sixth movie, but now they have Kevin Williamson, who was the original architect of the original Scream movie, the screenwriter, who is now the director, and we have Neve Campbell coming back as Sidney Prescott. This movie, if you want to talk about a crazy developmental hell, this one has had, this one truncated 20 years of misery into a few months.
Yes.
Which is just insane.
Yeah.
I mean, are you a fan of the Scream films?
I am a fan of the Scream films. The last one was, I wasn't too much into it. I still think the original is the best. Maybe that's just nostalgia. I don't know.
No.
How many times can we just keep going through like the same cycle? Like, And the thing about Neve Campbell, and I love Neve Campbell, okay, but what has she done lately?
She's done like some Lincoln Lawyer shows. She's done some other TV show, like movies and stuff like that. So she has been working. She's been doing.
When's the last time I saw her? And I couldn't even think of that time.
Yeah, because I know she was in that that new Twisted Metal show. Then she was in the Lincoln Lawyer show. So
yeah.
But hey, no, I understand. I mean,
don't be trying to turn your nose up at that. That Lincoln Lawyer is solid. Okay, let's just understand.
I have not watched that one. I did watch Twisted Metal. It was okay. It was okay.
Yeah. But the Lincoln Lawyer show is good. The right now the whole entire show itself pisses me off a little bit because they're fucking up the first book majorly. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna let it go. We're gonna see how the chips go. I'm gonna be one of those fans where I'm like, hey. Someone has a vision. Let's see the whole vision before I start, you know, biting my thumb over it.
And that's what social media needs to do now. Is we're so ready to jump on stuff before we see the final visions of everything that transpires. And I think that's a good point.
We all got impulses and opinions.
Yep. We all want to get some opinion on Facebook or TikTok or whatever it is nowadays. And you
gotta work it out. Yeah, I mean, like I said, let's see how they stick the landing. Is if they stick the landing, so they because like there's something important with the one character's development they're screwing up. But again, let's see the landing stick before I make my comments. But let's go back to Scream 7.
Here's so what we do for Scream 7. You ready, Jesse? I'm going to give you the whole movie right here. Are you ready? What? Ready? Here it is.
Well, I'm going to save $30 right here. Okay.
Here it is. Neve Campbell wakes up in bed. She's been in a coma for a couple of weeks because she survived the third movie. And they said, hey, you know, all that shit you've been dreaming about with your cousin who didn't get enough attention. So they decided to be a copycat killer. And then some other chick that had nothing to do with you's boyfriend decided to kill people because he wanted to be in a movie. And then his whole family went crazy and killed people, multiple killers. All that was a fever dream. You're really okay. And we're ending the franchise. Like, put that out. I'll be the first one in the theater to go see it.
I saw that episode of Dallas when I was young.
Yeah, that was JR.
Do the Dallas ending. There it is. Do that, and then we're fucking.
Something Patrick Duffy just enters the screen,
yep.
You know?
Yep. Get his ass in there. Get his ass in there. Absolutely.
Regardless, I think this needs to be the last Scream movie.
I'm so fucking done.
Here's what I'm gonna do. I know this is gonna be predictable, but this is one of those times where I'm like, just give fans what they want. Give us the final Stu Mocker, Neve Campbell battle, and be done with it.
Exactly. We know it's gonna be done. Just do it, and then
just do it. Just because. Because look, Scream 1, 2, 3, I like. Scream 4, I know John and I are separate on that. But which is fine. The fifth movie, in my opinion, whether you like it or not, it closed it. It closed it. It torched past. We were done.
Yes.
And then they stuck Courtney Cox in the next movie. I'm like, what stupid bullshit is that? And then you undid her whole character arc. You undid her whole character arc where she's like, oh, I'm not going to write about those two assholes. Let them die from anonymity. And then she wrote about them. I'm like, you just undid her whole fucking arc again. What the fuck? And then when she didn't die, I was so pissed. I was like, fuck me right now.
I literally waited for the whole movie for her to die. That's
Yeah. You thought she died, and then you had that one cocksucker at the end of the movie that goes, "Oh, Gail's waiting for you at the hospital." Like, you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, well, fuck you, man. We thought she was dead.
Like, we don't want her.
Oh, shit.
We don't want her.
We're done with Gail. We're done with Gail.
We're done with Gail. Oh, so, God. Look, if you want to make a good movie, here's how you do it. All right? Sydney Prescott, she's attacked in her home at the very beginning. All right? She kills, she kills the ghost face immediately. Turns out she knows for a fact it's not the last ghost face because there's something weird about this one. Maybe a clue on the body. She calls Gail to let her know. Gail is fucking dead. Killed off screen. I don't give a shit. I don't need to see it on screen, Gail. She's dead. Fucking dead. She's the last survivor. And now we set this whole cat and mouse thing up with her and Stu. Her and Stu. Her and Stu. Boom. End the movies.
Tell us up front he's the killer. We don't need a reveal anymore of who the killer is. Like, I feel like we're done with that. Like Jesse said, you know, like, we were supposed to get this Michael Myers and Laurie Strode showdown. They knew who each other were. God. Like, it wasn't a secret. Now, that we never got that. We were promised it, but we didn't get it. So let's just give it to us in this movie. Tell us Stu is the killer in the beginning. And do an hour and a half of them trying to get each other. Give us a 20-minute spectacular fight at the end. And then end the fuck. Kill them all. End the fucking movie. I don't care.
I think you go that way. You go revenge. Excuse me. You go Revenge of the Sith. I might get water here. Because it's choked me up. Can't take it anymore.
Just take a drink, man.
Nope, you're okay. Don't die on us.
Talk amongst yourselves.
It's all that vaping. So, like, look, I know I shit on Scream a lot. Look, I loved the first. I really did love the first three. I snuck in the theater to see the first one and saw the other two. Because I was only like 15 or 16, I think, when the first one came out. And that's when you could still sneak in the theater very easily and nobody really cared. It's different now.
Oh, yeah.
But, dude, back then, nobody gave a shit. If you saw, dude, the employees would open the door for you half the time. Like,
I think we did that a couple times.
We did. So they don't care, man. That's actually how I saw Starship Troopers as well. So they don't care. But, like, I essentially that you have to grow and evolve things, right? So the first three films came out in this era of time. And it was about the story. But then when you decide to do something like a trilogy, like a Star Wars trilogy, a Star Trek trilogy, a Scream trilogy, whatever, and you're doing it like decades after the last one, no shit, you've got to create a new story. Everybody realizes that. Nobody wants to see 40-year-old mom Sydney Prescott fighting off Ghostface. We get that. Now, my thing would be, if you got to that point, just stop fucking making the movies. But I understand they want to milk it and make money. So let's do Scream. And now that this different generation is the target audience, let's do this story about it. Da, da, da. And then you have ones, oh, this is so great. And then people that are like, what the fuck is this shit? And then you have people in the middle like Jesse who is like, well, it's not so bad. I like this one. I like this one. And, well, this one was okay. And you're like, no, Jesse, no, it was bad. The whole family was the killer. And nobody.
I did not say that was a good twist.
I'm pretty sure, sir, that you said that multiple times, including when we went to the theater to see it.
No. I know. I didn't think that was a good twist. I mean, it would have been, and listen, I've seen better, basically, let me go this way. I telegraphed that twist early on. So that's why I say it's not a great twist. I knew immediately it wasn't, but anyways, besides the point.
You knew something was up with the roommate the moment she said, I didn't know anybody. I just responded to an online ad. Gee, there's a killer right there. Or somebody who's involved with the killer.
Right.
Like, you just don't get that information spoon-fed to you unless it's important.
But also, I just didn't give a shit about the boyfriend. I just didn't give a shit about the boyfriend. This could have been a great, if they were like Stu Mocker's family, maybe that would have been a very interesting thing. That could have been something like, okay, I get this, you know, but
it was like a dad, you know,
or some sort of cult of Stu. Because one of the things that was very interesting that I thought the movie was going to be about, and it dropped the ball. So Scream has always been, at its core, a satire. At its core, it's a satire. And that's why the first three movies did good, because there was 30 years of history of horror movies, sequels to horror movies, trilogies of horror movies. Then the fourth movie was kind of didn't have something they were trying to do, because they were bouncing between doing a reboot and a legacy. And then the fifth one kind of did that, but not as well as the fourth one, in my opinion. And then this one, I was like, okay, so what are they going to do now? And I thought they were going to do horror documentaries, which is brilliant. There's this new movement, true crimes and all that stuff. Somebody collecting true crime memorabilia from the first crimes. Someone getting obsessed with it and wanting it to keep happening again. That would have been worth the ticket.
I think you just wrote Scream 8 right there.
I would be down
for what? What?
I think you wrote Scream 8 right there. That's,
yeah, you did, yeah. Jesse. It's found.
There you go. I ruined it. But I'm just saying you could have done about a true crimes. Like, that was the new thing. But I think because the needle hasn't grown, the evolution of horror hasn't moved over so much, we're not letting the tank fill up to satirize it.
Yeah, but I also think there's a degree of that who's your target audience, and that line is blurred right now because...
Oh, 100%.
And here's the thing. No matter what the company is, it doesn't matter. It could be a product company. It could be a food company. It doesn't matter. The target audience is always going to be the youngest audience that they can get to be the target. Yeah. And I understand that. And it shows in Scream 4, 5, and 6. But if you think about it, when Scream 4 came out, which was what, like over 10 years ago?
2011.
Okay, yeah. That's the year my daughter was born. So that was 12 years ago. I was 30. That was still the target audience, folks. And I think they tried to jump and get the younger kids, like the later high school kids. Mm-hmm. I think they tried to jump and get them because they were all doing like the Twilight and the Teen Wolf and all that shit. And so I think they were like, hey, if we do this as the target, we can get more people. And I think that was the mistake. I feel like they could have gone for the general audience as the target audience, made a better film, and had a much more successful franchise than going all in and saying new target audience is the 15-year-olds of today. Okay.
I agree.
Here's the film we got as a result.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Well, anyways, unfortunately, we had to cut the show short just because, like I said, I have a back-to-back show here. But with that, before we leave here, final words on this topic or any topic for the show. Do you guys have anything final you want to say?
Brian, go first. Crow and Scream. Give us your, you're going to see it, yes or no, and why.
The only topic I really want to talk about is I'm not wearing pants right now.
Oh. So, but you got those Scott Summers sunglasses on, man. Hold
right?
Back
yes, yes. Yeah. Crow, I like I said, I think people should go see it with an open mind. Don't expect a lot. Again, should have been come out in Halloween or something close to that. Definitely. In terms of Scream, I will probably wait for that to be streaming at this point.
Man,
yeah,
they got you, man. They hurt you.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point where it reminds me of Fast and Furious now, where they're just churning them out just to have something to come out with. What? And it's like, really, I don't care that much anymore. Yep.
I hear
and you. I know we didn't get to the topic, but I kind of feel the same way about Ghostbusters.
Oh, like, no. I think
that trailer
looks way better, dude. It looks way better.
I don't know.
Well, we'll have to bring you back when we talk about Ghostbusters. I know we're short on time. Yeah. But anyways, that's all the time we got here for tonight at the Grown-Ups Table. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Always appreciate it. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. Always a pleasure. Like I said, I got a lot of comedy shows coming up. Check out my website, jessepipinello.com, for all shows. Next Tuesday, I'm going to be at the Funny Bone for the workshop. I host a workshop there, so there won't be a show next week here, but the following Tuesday, there'll be a Tuesday show. But thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Jesse.
And I'm John.
And you've been sitting at the Grown-Ups Table. Thank you, and have an awesome night, everybody. Take care, everyone.